You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
And now, it's time for the Lakeside Drive F1 podcast. Here are your hosts and my supreme leaders, James Baldwin, Campy, and Freya Brolsma.
Danny Ricks' Monza win still lives rent-free inside people's heads, but that's okay because he's washed. He's done absolutely nothing and he's a terrible Formula One driver, and it is time to hang up the boots, Danny, because I'm on the internet and I know everything. The problem is, we're also on the internet and we know more than you. And to tell you why we know more than you, I'm joined by my friends and yours, Thomas J. Camp. Hello, mate.
Good morning, boys. How are you?
Again? Are you serious? Oh, my God.
Just back it in. And Freya Brolsma, not live from the east coast of Australia, but back home for you. Hello, mate.
Yes, hello. I am home. Don't know what day it is. I seem to have become nocturnal, but we're going with it.
The Japanese Grand Prix is coming up this week. I'm very excited. Lots of wonderful things have happened at this circuit. Obviously, some very sad things have happened at this circuit too. So the highs and lows of Formula One do exist at Suzuka. But let's cast our minds back, shall we? Because the Australian Grand Prix, still living rent-free in my mind, and I'm not upset about it. Campy, I'd love to just, we've a week on now, and there's some more nonsense come out about Daniel Ricciardo, some more incorrect reporting. Luckily, reader, listener, watcher, whatever you are of this podcast, do yourself a favor and go and read the Fox Sports article written by Michael Laminato, who identifies exceptionally well where Danny Rick is in comparison to other inter-team battles going on. Hint, he's not as bad as Perez and many others. Anyway, do yourself a favor, because we know lots of people who listen to this podcast love DR and want to be in a safe space. There's a lot of people who allegedly know a lot more than people who were in the paddock over the course of the weekend in the Australian Grand Prix, or even Daniel Ricciardo himself. But Campy, apart from being exceptionally frustrated by that, how do you feel?
I think we're frustrated. The biggest frustration is we know Danny Rick is not driving the way that we know he can drive and not getting the results. And last weekend is the prime example of getting a lap deleted in qualifying, which would have put him in the top 10 at the time, on to Q2, who knows what could have happened. Now, there was some genuine pace in that car, because we saw Yuki Tsunoda up the grid starting in the top 10, and that translated to good track position and pace. Now, unfortunately for Danny, it just didn't happen on track for him, because you really need in that backfield, you really need to qualify in front of everybody else to get that track position in order to be, you know, to get into the points on the Sunday. So, look, it is a bit frustrating, but he's not that bad. Race pace is very, very good compared to his teammate. It's just a one-lap pace, and he'll be fine. He'll bounce back. He'll get it together. It's a long season. He's not going anywhere this year. He's definitely going back up to the top team at some stage. He's Christian Horner's love child, really. And for those out there on the internet, look, good on you, keyboard warrior. Put your face to it. As I said last week, I really do not give a shit whether you listen or you don't, whether you agree with me or not. This I said it last week, we are 100,000% behind Danny Rick. He is our boy, and we will continue to give him big ups until he retires from this sport. So until then, just suck it up. And if you don't like it, then that's fine. Just do your internet thing and whatever. I know that if we analyse Danny Rick like everyone else, it might be a different conversation. We know these things, but we don't care. It's just not happening. It's like blaspheming. You will not hear us blaspheming about Danny Rick on this podcast. So.
Yeah, get yourself a life. Imagine clicking on a podcast that says Australian opinion on Formula One biased with Daniel Ricciardo and Oscar Piastri, then complaining about it on the internet. Good on you. Get a life. Freya?
Ditto. But I think what is interesting is, like, just from an analytical perspective, to your point, Campy, it's like his own team principal has now come out and shown us the data, has shown why they were actually quite impressed with his race in Australia last weekend. It was obviously really unfortunate in terms of that lap deletion in qualifying, although it was a very obvious one. They've got the data to back it up. So even if you do go and do the analytical side of things, he's still up there. So I don't really understand where the arguments are coming from now. But and I also want to say thank you to Mekis for coming out and actually supporting your driver in the way that we never saw from McLaren when things were not going his way there. And he has even said, you know, currently the car is too skewed towards Yuki's driving style and we need to respond to our new driver, who is Daniel Ricciardo. This is on us. This is not on him. So even if you take the analytical lens to it as opposed to the bias lens, happy to do both, both of them come out with him on top. So.
Oh, dear.
And we've got to remember that the only reason Yuki Tsunoda is in this sport is because of Honda. Honda pressure on the Red Bull organisation to have a Japanese driver because that's where they're from and that's fine. And it was the same with Takuma Sato back in the day. There was people in that missed out on the drive on that team because they had to cater to what the Japanese wanted. Now, that's just the reality of this sport. But he wouldn't be here based on his past driving results if it wasn't for Honda. So this year and the second half of last year, he's performed fairly well, but it's probably the first time in Yuki's career that he's actually delivered some on-track pace that suggests he deserves a drive moving forward. But, you know, he's been given Lance Stroll treatment, really, in the sense that he's wanted on the grid by a massive organisation, so that's why he's there.
Yeah, look. The reality is, as well, for Yuki is performing very well in this car. There is no doubt of that whatsoever. As did Lando, as continues to now, but also as he did McLaren and DR was there too. Just specifically the first couple of races that we've had, we know if you watch Formula One and you understand Formula One and you're not just a troll, you know that the midfield pack battle is so, so tight. I mean, you look at the Q1 into Q2 into Q3 times, and they are very, very tight. So if you do end up, like Daniel, having a lap time deleted or a poor qualifying session, does happen, and your teammate doesn't, those extra couple of places make a significant difference in the race when that midfield pack continues to fight itself all the way through, and it's very difficult to get past a Haas of Kevin Magnussen, for example, or Nico Hülkenberg, because that car is significantly improved compared to this time last year. Anyway, I think just a lot of people just need to settle down. The rumours that came out of the Australian Grand Prix were from an organisation who shouldn't have been in the F1 Media Centre. I'm sure there are other people who will identify who they are, not this podcast, because I can't be bothered with any kind of litigation. But just don't believe everything you read.
I'll do it.
Especially,
I'll take it on the chin, personally.
Don't, Campy. No, you won't. Let's just take a little bit broader look and a more positive look, shall we, at the Australian Grand Prix, Freya, because we managed to chat to some brilliant people on the ground.
I say this every time we go to a race where someone might say, what is it you're looking forward to the most? And I'd understand that I'm your favourite broken record, where I respond that my favourite part about these weekends is the people and the people who we get to meet. Because it's so wide ranging and there for different reasons, and they support different teams and drivers, and some people they're there for their first time. Some people they've been going every year since it was in Adelaide. Some people are there with their family. Some people are there with their girlfriends. Some people are there with their neighbors. I just love it. And people have traveled far and wide, and some people there, it's literally on their doorstep. So it's, Melbourne is a particularly fascinating race from that perspective. Campy and I got to chat to so many people, and we've managed to get some recordings from them. Campy, before we hear from those people who we went and chatted to at the Oz Grand Prix, were there any conversations that we had that really stood out to you, or is there anything in particular that stood out to you amongst the people who we spoke to?
Well, I think one of the conversations we had was with an older couple. They're definitely not old, like as in, you know, 75, 80, they were older than me, so that's why they're old. But the guy was an English guy, and it turns out he did some racing at Brands Hatch back in the day and, you know, moved to Australia and loved it. So we had a 5-minute chat afterwards, and he just talked about the amateur racing that he'd done and how he thoroughly enjoyed it, and cars are his passion and enthusiasm. So that was excellent. He was just there with his wife, just, you know, kitted out in the team kit, still supporting. And yeah, look, we had a great time, and we chatted to some young people too, which was always good to see. There's a couple of very confident young group of girls that we chatted to, and that was, yeah, come on, boys, I need you to get that sort of confidence growing up, because you need to step up.
It was interesting, wasn't it, Campy? Like when we spoke to many of the women in the crowd, just their confidence was so much stronger in comparison to the young guys, in terms of A, just speaking to us, two people who they'd never met before, approaching them with a microphone, but also being able to articulate to us why they were there and why they love the sport, and really enjoying being part of that crowd. And if anything, I would say this is a call to people who get to go to races, whether you're in the paddock or whether you are out in general admission, go and chat to people, go and have conversations. The people who have got the picnic rug next to you, chat to them, find out why they're there, what they love about the sport, why they love Formula One, who they're supporting, why they support those people, because you will hear some fantastic stories as we got to experience. So let's hear from some of those people who we spoke to at the Australian Grand Prix. All right, we have found some fans out here just outside of Melbourne Walk. They've got some of the big heads that you'll have seen on TV and around the place with some pretty great signatures to go with us. Got four very red-clad girls with us today. Tell us about your weekend. How's it going?
It's been amazing. We've been trying to get to the Melbourne Walk. It's our third morning, and just trying to get as many signatures and photos as we can.
Is there a signature in particular that you are hunting for?
George Russell, actually.
Why George?
He's just that special. He's amazing.
All right. And what are your predictions for race day today?
I reckon Max will probably lead the way, but I really hope for double Ferrari in second and third. Honestly, if they get first, I think I'll cry. But really, really hoping for some Ferrari wins.
And is this your first Grand Prix, or have you done this before?
Yeah, it's our first Grand Prix, so very exciting.
Very good. And what made you decide to come along this weekend?
I was really desperate to see Carlos Sainz in his last Australian Grand Prix with Ferrari.
Yeah, look, there's some momentous things going on. Have the best weekend, ladies. All the best. As a Daniel Ricciardo fan, I hope that your predictions do not come true. But make sure you have a great time and enjoy your weekend.
Thank you.
Thank you. We've found somebody here in the crowd who has had a very special weekend. Tell us about your story and how you spent your Saturday.
Well, it's our first F1 Grand Prix, and I'm fortunate. It's my son's 13th birthday. We're fortunate. A friend of ours from Yorkshire actually works for one of the teams. So we were very lucky. We went into pit lane yesterday, and then we went into the paddock and actually got to go into the Haas garage during practice. And saw the F1 team there going out for their practice run, which was really, really amazing. So... my son now sort of thinks this is a normal experience for an F1 weekend. We'll never want to do it a different way.
Yes.
Okay, we've got some McLaren kitted out fans here. Tell us about how you found the weekend so far.
Oh, fantastic. We've come up from Sydney for the weekend. So we're staying at friends at Albert Park and just went to the MCG yesterday, doing a bit of a Melbourne thing. So today's just Formula One.
Fantastic. And we're glad that Melbourne could put on a nice cool weekend for you as well. Bit too cool, perhaps, for Sydney siders. Who are you hoping to have a really strong weekend this weekend, besides the obvious orange? But is there anything more specific?
I think just if they can mix the race up, that would be fantastic. You know, get a bit of a mix-up of the result. That's always makes it exciting. I mean, the first two races, once you got past, you know, first place, the rest of the race was actually quite exciting. Yeah. So let's have some more of that. It'd be good.
Absolutely. And is this your first time attending a Grand Prix?
No, this is our third or fourth.
Well, we came here 10 years ago. Yeah, yeah, that was the last time we were in Melbourne. We did Monaco last year.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, so that was pretty good. And yeah, we got a couple more to do this year as well. Yeah. So.
Oh, excellent. Where else will you be heading this year?
Barcelona, then Singapore.
That will be a fantastic experience. And why do you love it so much?
It's just very, it's the pinnacle, you know. It's absolutely, it's putting everything right on the cutting edge of technology. And it's just, you know, you look at the crowds now as well, where it's come from to where it is now. I lived near Brands Hatch in the UK. Yep. In my early days. I've raced around Brands Hatch. Yeah, it just keeps growing at the moment. So it's, and what it's doing for road cars as well is awesome. Yeah, so.
Well, a massive thank you to NordVPN for sponsoring this episode of the Lakeside Drive F1 podcast. Go to nordvpn.com/Lakeside Drive right now, and you'll even be able to see whether or not you're protected online. That's right. If you go to that website, you can see your location, your ISP, your IP address, and your status, whether or not you're protected or unprotected. And if you're not using a VPN, NordVPN will tell you all of that information. So to protect yourself online from prying eyes, go to nordvpn.com/Lakeside Drive. And not only will you be able to see that information, but you'll be able to get an incredible deal. It's 2 years plus 4 months free and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Listen to your favorites abroad, shield your data from snoops and criminals, and protect yourself on public Wi-Fi. If you're going to the Japanese Grand Prix and you want to make sure you're secure in the hotel or at the train station, the best thing to do is to get yourself a VPN. And the best VPN is NordVPN. NordVPN.com/Lakeside Drive. Go there right now.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Alrighty, now we've found someone here in another red shirt. It seems to be a popular colour today for some reason or another. Tell us about how you're finding the weekend so far.
It's been awesome. Yesterday was great. Watched quali, found a good spot and just set up, and it's just brilliant. Like, it's such a well-run event. So many people here. And yeah, it's just very exciting.
Have you been before?
Yeah, I went last year. I'm fortunate enough to work a little bit with AGP, so I got sort of free tickets for the weekend and yeah, get to enjoy it.
And how do you find this year compares to last?
Good. Yeah, very similar. It's just a great event to be at, to be honest. Very similar and also just great this year.
Yeah, excellent. Now, like I said, you are wearing a red shirt, but what are your predictions for the weekend?
I'm a big Sainz fan, so I'm hoping that Sainz can pull something out of the bag here. I'm gutted about him not being in the car next year, but I want him to, you know, show who he is and, you know, get out in front. Who knows? Maybe he could put Max, maybe.
Do you have any bold predictions for this weekend?
I think Carlos winning might be a bold prediction. I don't think anyone really expects it, but it could happen. So hoping there might be one crash that sort of, a safe crash that sort of, you know, mixes up the grid a little bit more. Yeah. And we'll see what happens.
Fantastic. All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us and have a fantastic weekend.
Thank you. You too. Appreciate it.
Okay, we are here with some more fans out in the fan zone. Tell us about how you're finding the weekend so far.
Oh, this is our first day here and it's actually very fun. This is the first time I've ever been to the Formula One, so yeah.
And what made you decide to come this year?
Oh, because I wanted to go. I like going to the motorsports and yep. I wanted to go to at least one of the every motorsport in Australia, yep. So...
Excellent. So you've got a few other events on your list. That's really great. What else are you looking forward to? Other categories?
Well, I want to go to the MotoGP one day in Australia. So that's the last one I want.
Fantastic event. And what about you? How are you finding this weekend?
Oh, look, you know, I came to this years ago, probably in about 2003. So now it's like bringing my son along because he wanted to see it.
Right.
You know, we caught up with supercars last year at Bathurst. So we kind of did that. And... I don't really follow anything closely at the moment, but it's still, you know, fun to come and check it out.
Yep. Soak up all the atmosphere and see what it's all about. Do you have any predictions for this weekend?
Look, you know, these things, it's very much Verstappen, you know, he's got the best car, he's a good driver. Anyone in the best car tends to win. That's the worst thing about Formula One, but, you know, you get that.
Yeah, absolutely. And what is it that you love about Formula One and motorsport generally?
I just like cars. I like the racing. I like the engines. I like all of it. And it's always cool hearing the engines and the cars just flying by the track.
Tell us about who you would love to have a great race today.
Definitely Alonso.
Okay.
Yep, and also Oscar. We have to keep it to the Aussies.
What is it you love about Alonso?
He's my boyfriend's favourite. And I got matching shirts, so that's very important.
Yes, absolutely. And yet you're friends with somebody who looks like they might have a different view on the race today. Tell us about what your hopes and dreams are.
I really want Lewis Hamilton to win the race. I don't think that will happen, but... my prayers and thoughts are with him. I love him. He's the best.
And why do you love Lewis?
I just love his vibes. I feel like he's a really, really good person. Really cool dude. Cool style. And also he's my boyfriend's favourite.
All right, so we're working in pairs here. I see what's going on. It's all about keeping the harmony.
Made my own opinion on him. Okay. I love him. And his dog, Roscoe.
Yes. Now, did you hear his interview about Roscoe yesterday?
I did not.
Okay, so apparently... he's had Roscoe had the snip, but also frozen his sperm before he did that. Just letting you know.
Oh, my God.
How does that make you feel about Lewis Hamilton?
I love that.
All right. Tell us what you love about Formula One.
I think it's just the vibes. I think it's staying up until 3 a.m. to watch a race and then falling asleep halfway through and waking up when there's a crash.
And it's just, like, the personalities. Like, I just love everybody and just, like... I don't know. For me, it's the people. I'm like, I just love...
a very peaceful couple. I'm loving this. Is this your first time attending a Grand Prix?
Yes. Yep.
What made you decide to come this year?
Well, we've only gotten into it in the last few years because of the boyfriends. So this has kind of been the first time that we've had the opportunity to come down
for it. And we're all here. There they are.
They're all here. We've located them as well. All right. Very good. Have you been here all weekend?
No, just today.
She came yesterday.
Yeah, we came yesterday.
Yeah. And what's been your favourite part about the weekend so far?
Ooh, yesterday, the sprint race for the F2, that was really good.
Yep.
Yeah, with all the stopping and starting. And that was fun.
Gentlemen, how are you? We're just out here soaking up a bit of the atmosphere in the F1 fan zone today. What are you guys drink of choice at the moment?
Heineken always.
Canadian Club and dry.
And yet to get one at the moment.
And what? Give us some of your bold predictions for what's going to happen in the race today.
Max, obviously.
That's not bold. Max crashing, obviously.
Okay, a bold prediction. I'm going to say Lando third and Sainz second.
That's not bold.
Well, it's not Perez.
We're going to get you guys a dictionary to start off with so we can have a look at what bold means.
Danny Rick top 10.
That's what we want to hear. And what about you?
I reckon Piastri will be in the podium somewhere, followed by Leclerc somewhere as well.
What do you guys love about the sport and this festival of the Melbourne Grand Prix?
Well, this is my first time, but so far loving it. The atmosphere is cool. Definitely love seeing the cars, all the fans.
Yeah, same. There's just a lot going on here. There's never nothing to do, and the cars are just all that we're here for.
I think for me, the loudness of the cars is something that gets you going. when I first walked in, it was only F3, I think, that was running, and it was, even that was blowing like the eardrums just apart. F3, so to see that was pretty good.
Excellent. All right, you boys enjoy your day and don't drink too much. Drink responsibly.
Aussie Pride.
I love it. I love hearing people's stories. I love hearing why they're out at the race and what brought them there. And like I said, because of where this track is, we get such an interesting mix of people, lots of young girls, lots of young boys. We heard from Little Lewis, named after the driver himself. Older couples, people who've been involved in the sport, people who've never heard of it. So we loved it. Thanks for speaking to us. Wear your Lakeside Drive hats with pride, and make sure you tell all of your friends that you are now podcast famous, and also because you're on ours, also Danny Rick biased.
And be happy about it. Be bloody happy about it. Yeah, great stuff, guys. Thank you very much for getting out into the crowd and talking. Freya, how many – I know you're training for the London Marathon, which is very, very soon. How many kilometres, though, did you think you walked around the Grand Prix?
Oh,
because
my
it was
goodness.
A lot, right?
It was a lot. And you know what? I was having to do some training while I was there, and I was wondering why some of those runs were feeling really hard on my legs. I was like, oh, that's right. I did 30,000 steps yesterday in dirt, in like – shitty sneakers. So that's why my feet hurt, my legs are sore, and definitely paid for that. So I think I did end up checking my app, and most days are between kind of 24 and 30,000 steps. We covered some distance, didn't we, Campy?
We did well, and I exceeded all expectations, so it was good. More walking than I've done in the last decade, I think. It was good, and I can attest, Freya was up. I'd wake up my normal time and then not having to get up at 5 a.m. on a leisurely weekend, I thought, oh, we'll go back to sleep. I'd be sort of woken up about 7:15. I'd hear Freya running out the door, and she'd be back at 8:30, 8:45, and done her thing, coffee in hand. There you go, sir. And I was very impressed, Freya. Very impressed.
Well, you're the one who did exceed expectations. Although, like I said, I think even after all of that, I've learned that I'm definitely the fastest walker of the three of us by a long way. Interesting trying to maneuver through crowds, I found.
Yeah, crowds were huge. It was, I feel also I'm still at a disadvantage. Next year, let's try that again. There is an advantage.
Speed walking competition next year.
There you
year.
Go, down the main straight on like Wednesday or something. We'll see if we can get access to it before Glamour on the Grid, which Campy will go to as a whole beanie. He'll just go to a Glamour on the Grid as just one gigantic beanie, because there's nothing, if you're new to this podcast and it's because you were interviewed by Campy, yes, we were wondering too why he was wearing his beanie in 30 degrees. The hot tip is that's all he wears. He's currently wearing it now. Give the YouTube viewers a wave, Campy, with your beanie. There it is. Fantastic audio content. The Australian Grand Prix was fantastic. Thank you, everyone, for making it fantastic. Thank you for reaching out. Look, even if you don't agree with us and you want to comment, it's great that you do take a significant amount of time to disagree with us, as much as we think your opinion is wrong. It's still your opinion. Like our opinion is our opinion, even though it's right. Let's take a look ahead now, though, to the Japanese Grand Prix, because this time last year, Red Bull won the Constructors' Championships, but that's because it was in September. Of course, it's in a new time. We're not in typhoon season either, which is good for everyone. And those of people who have gone straight from Australia either to Japan straight away or a little bit of a break in Australia now going to Japan, looking at their Instagrams, there's lots of beautiful moments happening all up and down Japan. Campy, this is one of the greatest circuits in motor racing around the world.
It is. Often you get sectors in tracks which are amazing, but not often enough do you get tracks that the whole thing is very iconic. I could almost draw this on the back of a piece of paper just by sight. Wouldn't look very good, but geez, sector one, you got your right-hander, double apex corner that you can brake ridiculously late into and just trail brake right through the corner, and then as you work your way up through those the S chicanes, I think there's four or five of them. What an unbelievable track. Now, you know what I liked about this track last year is the fact that our boy Oscar Piastri, never been here before, never driven on this track before, absolutely killed it. That tells me he is a driver's driver and he's going to be bloody quick this weekend. Look out, Lando. This is the tipping point weekend. So this is the weekend where Oscar takes over control of that team and is certified as the number one driver. And I dare say it, before we get to our predictions, that this may be the weekend that Oscar Piastri gets his first win in a Grand Prix. So, albeit we hope something doesn't happen to Max like it did last time, we want to see him clearly beaten on track for the first time in a long time. So very excited about that.
Yeah, Frey, it was a great result last year for McLaren.
Yeah, we had the unfortunate, though, team swap, which we've already seen one too many times this year at McLaren. So hopefully it is just good old head-to-head racing. I think we saw a lot of inter-team battles here last year. Mercedes doing the same thing. The AlphaTauris were the same. We had Liam Lawson, of course, this time last year, also battling each other. So there were a lot of interesting intra-team battles going on, and McLaren will absolutely be doing that this weekend. What I hope is that they do let them race, basically. I'm kind of sick of those team calls at the moment. And yeah, I think McLaren could be on track for a really good result this weekend. It'll be interesting this time of year because it is much cooler. You know, I think it tops out potentially only in the high teens there in the afternoon at the moment. So we could get some interesting throwout results when it comes to those teams who have been struggling with cooling issues or struggling with tyre degradation. We might not see quite as much as that in these conditions there. So it's, different time of year. Some new drivers out there would be very, very interesting.
Five DNFs last year. Albon, Sargeant, Stroll, Perez and Bottas all DNF'd. And
two of those are thanks to Perez.
Yeah, I was going to say two of them thanks to Perez. But it was Verstappen 1, Norris, Piastri, then Leclerc. Campy, it's kind of – Carlos Sainz now is very much in the frame for many seats in Formula 1. We didn't really speak a lot about this last week in the Australian Grand Prix review, but to me he's very much in the picture for Red Bull. He's very much in the picture for Mercedes. And really it's his contract to ask for. Now – that's his stocks up at this point of the season. Everything can change very quickly, as we have seen, and maybe he would want to lock some things in sooner rather than later. But for Ferrari's opportunities, we've seen now what they're like on track. We've seen that their reliability, at least in Melbourne, was better than Red Bull and Mercedes. Do you think this is now the kind of track that they might be able to put the fight to Max, and maybe that will be at detriment to McLaren?
Look, McLaren got a 1-2 last year on the back of a horrible start to the season and upgrades coming through. McLaren started better and they're still talking about the upgrades that need to be brought to this car, albeit they won't be here for Japan. I just think this is a track that the McLaren is the car is not an – last year was not an anomaly. This is a track that suits the car, suits the driving styles, and I think they'll get it. Ferrari, on the other hand, Ferrari are way ahead of third place in – as the second best car on the grid. And then, you know, Max Verstappen and that Red Bull clearly another second up the road. So, look, we could get some changing results. I think qualifying will be very, very different, very close again. And that's where the jeopardy and the potential for the grid to be mashed up a little bit will happen. So I think the race will probably play out very similar to the way we say it. But it's, again, it's another track that's not really easy to pass on either. There's some big moves. It's not like you in some of the Saudi races where you got some big braking zones into a hairpin that create big opportunities. This one's a pretty fast-paced track, and you've got to be right up the backside of somebody to get some of those moves done, particularly into the, you know, the last chicane before the straight, etc. You had a 130R, so I just had to mention 130R.
You had to, good man.
What a great corner, and it'll be flat this year for pretty much every team. So, yeah, look, it'll be interesting, but I think qualifying may define what the race looks like too.
And it's interesting, Freya, because we're going so much earlier in the season. By September, everyone had sort of worked out what their cars looked like for the 2023 season. 2024, things are still changing and developing. We're still seeing upgrades, as even being discussed, as can be said, about upgrades with McLaren being brought to the car. So because it's so early and it's such a brilliant track, there might be not only jeopardy, but it might actually be totally different to what we expect because we're this early in the season, which I think is such a wonderful thing.
Oh, I'm going into this weekend feeling like it's kind of anyone's game, especially with that, obviously, that mid-pack group, because they're so close already. And then we do have some unknowns here when it comes to this track this time of year. And also with the cars, as you said, in terms of the stage of the development that they're at. We talk about Mercedes, for example, for a second. They were talking about how, you know, one of the areas that they're seeing a big gap in terms of what their sims are showing and then what happens on track are within those high to low speed balance areas. That's exactly what you're going to see at this track. So I have no idea what's going to happen with them. But then they've also said that their competitiveness seems to drop when the track is really warm at the hottest part of the day. Well, it's going to be quite cool here, so that could work in their favour. So there are so many variables. We don't quite know what's going to happen, and that is just exacerbated being this early in the season. So I think we've kind of got the perfect storm to have a really exciting race. I certainly hope so.
Well, just one little bit of news on Mercedes before we wrap this one up. Tommy Hilfiger is no longer sponsoring them at the end of this year. Adidas is now launching in to be the team wear partner, which obviously coincides with Lewis leaving. So it's already begun in terms of sponsors leaving Mercedes. It will be interesting to see how many people leave Mercedes for Ferrari too, whether Tommy pops up in Ferrari. It's just an interesting bit of news that I saw through the last couple of days and was like, okay. You kind of forget how big a story this was at the beginning of the year, considering how much has happened. And it's only the 1st of April. No April Fool's jokes here, by the way, except for maybe to say Campy's not wearing his beanie. Ha, of course he is. What a silly joke. What a silly joke.
Let's have a look at predictions. You're such a dad, Jim. Jeez, you're so funny.
Let's have a look at predictions. Campy, I'd love your predictions, please. Podium. Sorry, let's go for qualifying first. Front row.
Front row will be Oscar and Max. Race will be.
And on the podium?
Oscar, Carlos, and Charles.
Okay. 10th?
Ocon.
And last?
Gasly.
And your bold prediction?
Danny Rick, top five.
Okay, great. Love it. Freya?
Front row will be Max and Leclerc. Podium, Max, Oscar, Leclerc. 10th, Lance Stroll. And last is going to be Valtteri. I'm sorry, Valtteri, but I just don't think they're going to get that pit stop sorted yet. I think we're going to have to deal with some pain there, which I think means he's going to suffer seriously. And then my bold prediction is going to be Sargeant in the points.
Oh, geez, here in a Williams.
That is bold. Who knows?
He's got something to prove.
Do we even know?
He's got something to prove.
Hang on a second. We don't even know if they've got their second chassis ready for Japan yet.
They said they think they can fix it.
They think they can. We're still, we'll see. Well,
they'll have their third. But they'll have the third one there while they're trying to fix the second one. We'll see. So
let's knows? Let's watch Albon put into the wall in P1 and then.
What about you, James? Who's your front row?
Look, I think it'll be Max and Oscar front row. Podium will be, Oscar, Max, and Checo. I just think Checo isn't. I mean, he did take out some people last year, but this car should be fast enough around here for him to do some Checo of old. 10th will be Tsunoda. Last will be Ocon, and my bold prediction is that Valtteri will be in the points. So screw you guys. I'm going to have some positivity about an issue that we know can't possibly be fixed between Australia and Japan. Exactly. That's why it's bold. Well, that's it. A very nice, short, sharp preview of the Japanese Grand Prix. If you want to get involved in the conversation, the best way to do that is to join our Discord server. The link to that is in the description, the show description, or you can head to our website, lakesidedrive.au. And follow the links there to community. Whilst you're there, you can also join our F1 Fantasy League. At the end of the year, we'll pick a favourite name or two, plus the person who has won in the points to receive some merchandise, just like the hats that we gave away at the Australian Grand Prix. But until next Monday, when we review the Japanese Grand Prix, I've been James.
I've been Campy.
Just wanted to see.
I am.
Just wanted to see. I just wanted to see if.
To pass tense.
I just wanted to see if you would do a box of neutrals ending or listen to my calls ending, which is a way for me to say the Australian Rally Championship starts this weekend. WRC Kenya was last weekend. If you're interested in rally, come listen to my rally podcast. It's called Listen to My Calls. And that's it for this episode. See you next week here at the Lakeside Drive F1 Podcast.
Do you want to pick back up again?
You can. No? Yes, you can do that.
I thought you were going to.
It's my first day.
Okay. Yeah, apparently you don't know how to use this. It's fine. Okay.
What do I not? What do I? Hang on.
How
what do I not know how to use?
Oh, fuck. I just started. No, don't worry. Okay.
Sports Social Podcast Network.